And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to talk about something that I believe is the single most vital and important topic that I have ever discussed. And I'll tell you, that's saying a lot because we've given you a lot of firsts, a lot of exclusives here, a lot of exposés on amazing subjects. But today, I'd like to look over something that is the most neglected item or feature of society. The most neglected. It's that little thing called truth. T-R-U-T-H. You know, the Bible has a lot. If you get a concordance, you'll find a lot to be said about the truth. Jesus Christ described himself as the truth. The Bible says that God is truth and God's word is truth. It's pure. Well, we start then with God, with Jesus Christ being pure, being truth. Of course, the world does not recognize the truth when it sees it. The most notorious example, of course, is Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, after the Jews brought Jesus Christ to Pontius Pilate and demanded he be crucified. He asked Jesus, the governor did, "Who are you? Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "It's just as you say. Thou sayest," is the King James language. "Yes, I'm a king," said Christ, "but my kingdom is not of this world." But Christ went on to tell Pontius Pilate that all who were of the truth followed him, believed in him. Pilate, having been taught the principles of Pythagoras and Plato and Cicero and all the others, looked at Jesus and said, "What is truth?" A very interesting question, because on college campuses today, and I've taught at three different universities, I can tell you that they spend entire semesters, class after class, trying to answer that question. They call it the epistemological question. They love big words. What is truth? It seems that philosophy professors have never yet figured it out. They have not yet answered the question, what is truth? But one thing I can tell you, dear friends, is that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there is a prophecy there that says, because they love not the truth, the whole world in the last days will believe a strong delusion, and therefore they will believe the lie. I've always thought it was interesting how it doesn't say a pack of lies or a bunch of lies or all the lies. It says they will believe the lie. Now, for convenience sake, let me just suggest to you, although I believe it's true, that all of the lies in the universe compose one big ball of lie. Lie or lies, plural, really all add up to one big thing. Opposition to Jesus, since he's truth. Everything opposed to God then is part of the lie. And everywhere you turn today, because the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness in the last days, everything seems to be made up somehow or other of the fabric of a lie. Recently, Michael Jackson died, And it seems after you really study the life of this 50-year-old man, a tragic situation, his whole life was a lie. He had created a whole series of never-ending lies. And of course, he liked to pretend, I suppose, when he went off into his drug-crazed hazes with Diprivan and cocaine and all the other drugs he was taking, they said these things would put you into various fantasy worlds in your mind. And even had an IV put into his body and would take these things and sleep and sleep and sleep. And I believe he had gone it off into some kind of a fantasy world. A world made up of fantasy and lies. And even his estate was called Never Never Land. It was named after a lie, Never Never Land. Today, let's discuss, dear friends, and we're going to get into some very weighty issues, the truth versus the lie. And I've got some good news for you, because I believe I have finally, I don't know why it took me so long, I apologize to each of you, but I finally figured out how to shatter and defeat the Illuminati conspiracy. There's a movie on some years ago. I didn't see it, but the title sort of interested me. Evidently, it was some kind of a, you know, gangster show about how they came in and robbed a train station or something. But the title was interesting. It said, it was called Taking Down Pelham. I guess that was the name of the train station with the train stop. Taking Down of Pelham 1, 2, 3. You know, that's the way they do when they're going to show you a primer, you know, how to do something. We're going to give you the 1, 2, 3 of something. We're going to give you the ABCs of something. Well, today I want to tell you how to defeat the Illuminati conspiracy 1, 2, 3. It's really not that difficult. But it is an opposition to everything the world believes. And it's because Jesus is a contrarian. Everything the world believes is sacred and wonderful is nothing but trash and garbage to Jesus. But the purity of his saints is precious to Jesus. To the world, the saints of God are trash. They've turned everything around. No wonder in the satanic sects, they enjoy reciting the Lord's Prayer said backwards. They enjoy taking the cross and turning it upside down. Crooked. The lie is crooked. The lie is turned upside down. It was said of the early church, they were the ones who turned the whole world upside down. And let me tell you something, friends. If you tell the truth in this world, if you're a truth teller, you're turning the world end on end. Because the world is made up of lies, and when you look at the world, it's upside down. But the rest of the world has, they think they're right up, that they're just fine. But you know that it's lost its equilibrium, and it's entirely reversed. The truth versus the lie. Now, if I had time, I could show you, and I'll give you some examples of how fabrication underlies everything. The whole world is a web of lies. Our politicians are liars. Our diplomats are liars. Our military leaders are liars. Our bankers are liars. Our mortgage lenders are liars. Our auto dealers and their salesmen are all liars. It has got to the point where everybody's lying to everybody about everything. But not everybody. There's a small portion of this world that has just gotten cranky. I'm one of those cranky people. Contrary. I'm contrary to the world. I'm sick and tired of the lie. I've decided I'm not going to be part of it. Now, if the truth were told by everybody and understood, the entire world as we know it, which is in itself the lie, would be overturned. It would collapse. It would shatter into trillions of pieces. Our enemy is the world. I know you don't like to hear that because you want to be part of the world. You want to conform to the world. You want to be rewarded with riches by the world, but it's true. If you're going to defeat the Illuminati conspiracy, you will have to make war with the world. And what will be your weapons of war? Spiritual weapons. And the truth is the principal armor that you will use. And it is mighty. When you went to the headquarters building of Pravda, which by the way means truth in Russian, it was their number one newspaper in the Soviet Union during the communist era, and it still exists today, Pravda. It means truth. The communists started it to tell a pack of lies. That's why they called it truth. Because everything to communism was a lie, but they called it truth. You see how they turn it around. Now, when you went into the main lobby or entrance, there was a huge sign on the wall, and it's still there today, I understand. I don't have the exact words. I could get them for you in 5 minutes on the internet or look in several of my resource books. But basically, it was a quote by Vladimir Lenin, the founder of communism and the butcher, the Red Terror butcher and monster, who purged and killed up to 66 million, he and his pals, Trotsky and Stalin, Kaganovich and others, over the communist era. And this quote by Lenin basically says this: we cannot allow words to be spoken or written down by our enemies, the enemies of the state. How can we allow words by them? For words, said Lenin, are more powerful than tanks and bullets. We cannot allow words. My friends, the word of God is a piercing sword. And I am convinced in the book of Revelation when it says that he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword, it is not referring to violence, it's referring to he who takes up a weapon of lies. Live by lies, you will die by lies. And the person or entity who puts you to death and puts you away in a very, very unsafe, dangerous place called hell is named Satan. Because the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. The father of it. He generated the first murder. He caused the first rebellion against God in heaven. And he was the father of the lie. And if you are part of him, then he will welcome you into hell after you leave this existence. And what a fiery welcome awaits you, dear friend, if that be so. Now, I want you to understand that the web of deceit in the world is the systematic, sometime piecemeal, sometime just total onslaught, spreading and overlay of every person's consciousness with lies. I believe one of the greatest tasks before us is to somehow cleanse our consciousness of lies. Now, the Bible says that all of us sin, though we try our best not to. And so it says in 1 John that if we say we have no sin, then we make ourselves into liars. But if we admit and confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and of all unrighteousness. How do we get rid of the lie then? We cleave to the truth, which is Jesus. And we ask Jesus each day, each moment of our life, to keep us free of the lie. And since the world is so bound up in a iron, steel-like web of lies, you cannot escape it with your own strength. Oh no, that would be impossible. You cannot even really attack the world system with one little word from your mouth. Not even one word will do any good. And yet, it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn that said, why does the world have so many problems? Why did communism come and so many tens of millions die? Because men forgot God. And that same Solzhenitsyn was asked, if the world is so evil, how can we possibly overcome? His answer was stunning. The Russian writer, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, answered and said, one word, one single word of truth outweighs the whole world. Do you know what a weapon you've got? There's no nuclear hydrogen bomb like that. Greater than the whole world, one word of truth. And if every man was part of that telling of truth, if every man had a word of truth, starting with this very day, the world fabricated, made up, bound up, brought into captivity through lies, would be decimated immediately. Now the Bible says that liars will not enter the kingdom of God. It just says that. Liars will not enter the kingdom of God. That's why every day of my life I resolve to find, to discover, and to speak openly, publicly, at least one word of truth. That day. I don't know what it'll be. Maybe that it's a beautiful day. If it really is. And it usually is, even when it's raining. Or when it's snowing. Because beauty is truly in the eyes of the beholder. And God has created a myriad of beautiful things for us to appreciate and admire. The Bible is full of truth. One of the Ten Commandments says, don't bear false witness against a neighbor. One of the most cherished stories in American legend and lore is that of George Washington, who cut down the cherry tree, and his father asked him, did you do it? And he said, I cannot tell a lie. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I loved it as a little boy. It had meaning. And the kids were told that story over and over as kids. Because as we've gone through the years, and I've seen the decades, the world has become more and more bound up in lies. And now that story, people laugh about it. Ha, ha, ha. Everybody lies. My grandson asked me the question, Papa, when you were in high school, did you cheat on tests? Well, no. No, I didn't. He looked at me and there was a utter shock on his face. In my high school, everybody cheats on tests, he said. I said, everybody? Everybody? I know there were a few cheaters back when I went to high school, but there weren't that many. Maybe there are more that I didn't even know about. But I don't think so. Of course, the world is getting worse and worse. The Apostle Paul said that in the last days, things would wax worse. That means grow worse and worse, with men deceiving and being deceived until the end comes. They say it takes a con to out-con a con. It takes a liar, a master liar, to deceive another liar. You see, they're like graduated. It's almost like initiation ceremonies. So many degrees, 33, 56, 86. And as you grow into this lying world, you can become more proficient and expert at lying. Until finally, you yourself are so bound up in the lie that you can't escape it. You think. Seems like you can. And there's things that are just incredible the way they lie. They become like oxymorons. For example, there's a Bible called the Living Bible. But it's a bunch of baloney. Because it's taken the real Word of God, the King James, and added all kind of junk to it. The real Bible of Jesus Christ never changes. It's not living in the sense that it keeps growing and changing because it's inflexible. Did you hear what I just said? That's right. The Bible is inflexible, rigid, standard, and constant, consistent. It's not flexible, it's not plastic, it's not rubbery, it doesn't change with new customs. I just did a video, it'll be out September 1st, exposing the most incredible expose of Barack Obama you will ever see. And one of the quotes I have Barack Obama is what he says about the Bible. He says, surely God did not intend us to trust in a book that's hundreds of years old. Surely God did not intend us to put our faith in a book that's so old. Things have changed. Talk about old. The Bible is going to be dated in hundreds and hundreds of years, but God, how old do you think He is? And if God can change, I would go ahead and kill myself. Because if He loves me today, He may not love me tomorrow. And I cannot resist God. He is too strong. He will do with me whatever I want. I better be running in fear every day of some God who is so capricious that He may change. How would you like to have a God every morning you wake up and say, I wonder what mood He's in today? Maybe He's mad at me. Maybe He didn't like something I said. Maybe He's going to just take His thumb and just smush me into the ground. I hate to live like that. And I do not live like that, dear friends. I wake up every day knowing what my God is going to do for me that day. He's going to do something good every day. He's going to do something to make me feel bright and joyful every day. If the police were to send a SWAT team and beat me to death that day, I would say, praise God. Now I can be with Him a lot sooner. I'm not going to kill myself, though. Ever. So any of you out there said, Tex Morris is threatening to kill himself. I didn't say that. I said, if God were to change, I may as well. But God doesn't change, and I never will. Now listen. Some say we have a living constitution. That's also what Barack Obama says. We don't have to pay any attention to what the founding fathers said. We can change and interpret like rubber, like Play-Doh, the words of the Constitution. Judges do it all the time. You and I know it. That's what I studied back when I have a bachelor's degree. I studied the words that they wanted me to study, but I knew it was all poppycock, nonsense, and garbage in college. I got a degree from studying the foolishness of men. I graduated summa cum laude, straight A's. One of the books I had to study was called The Living Constitution. It was nonsense. The same kind of stuff Obama spouts. But I know something. The right to keep and bear arms is as valid today as it was in 1787. And the value of being able to speak your mind and opinion, free speech, is worth as much today as it was in 1787. And the freedom of religion is just as important today as it was in 1787. So shut up, Barack Obama. You're an idiot and a liar besides. And everybody, all the liberals like you that believe that. And the conservatives too, for that matter. How many of them defended the Constitution lately? Well, maybe Ron Paul and a few others. But he's only one out of hundreds of congressmen. The rest of them are a bunch of jerks. They don't believe in anything but money and themselves and whatever they can get a hold of. Friends, the Bible hadn't changed. Yes, we have more adultery. Kids are killing parents. Parents are killing kids. We have more divorce. We have more shacking up. We have sex everywhere on, you know. We have immorality in dress and language. We have our president and vice president who are advocating the torture of prisoners and then claiming they're not doing it. They say it's all right because things have changed. Conditions have changed. We're fighting a war on terror. And now we have to torture people. It's important. You see, things are changing. But that's a lie. Things haven't changed. World War I was just as important as the war on terror. The war on terror, how many has that killed? Even if you believe that 19 Arabs, the foolishness of that, 19 Arabs, talk about a lie, perpetrated 9/11 and killed, 3,000 people. How many you think died in the flames? How many perished in the years of World War II? 50 million people worldwide died in World War II versus a little measly 3,000 in New York City and a few other places on 9/11. But now this is so important, this war on terror. Well, we've got to start torturing people. But after it's found out they're torturing, they lie and say, no, we're not torturing. It's a coercive interrogation. They make up words. They give you the George Orwell approach. I've told you the story before of attorney. I needed a statement, truthful statement. And I called this attorney and I explained what I needed. I was going to pay him to, you know. He says, what do you want me to say in this statement? I said, well, I'll just state the truth, you know. He says, well, what do you want me to say? I said, well, just to say the truth. I was in a hurry that day. I was just give me the truth. And mail it to me, sign it and mail it to me. And he laughed and he said, well, Tex, I'm a lawyer. And you know how lawyers are. There's truth and then there's truth. Wow. You know, I stopped for a moment. I started laughing myself. I said, I do know how attorneys are. You're right. There's truth and then there's truth. Okay, let me tell you the truth I want you to say. Isn't that an amazing thing? We'll be back in just a minute. We'll talk about Bill Clinton, talk about Dr. Henry Gates and what lie he told up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and how Obama assisted him, and much more when we return right here on Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us, won't you? They're blind, some of them. Others, well, they're just dead. The blind and the dead. It's a video documentary that we offer here in the ministry. And you'll see such people as Kenneth Copeland and Paul Crouch and Hal Lindsey, and it goes on and on, all the Word of Faith movement people. You know, the World Roberts crowd and all the prosperity preachers. Kenneth Hagin, the names go on and on. There'll be new names tomorrow. Today we have Joyce Myers and Creflo Dollar. They're all the same, though. They're all part of the lie. They're blind and they're dead. And I did a DVD video on it. I think it's on in VHS, if you'd like VHS. The blind and the dead. You've never seen anything like this. You'll see these men in the most incredible situations. You just won't believe it. The apostasy, the lies, the false teachings, and the horrors of these men. You'll see people like Benny Hinn sucking on what appears to be a hashish pipe. You find out the next day his top lieutenant died of a heroin overdose. Heroin, hashish, lies, false speaking in tongues. You'll see women in charismatic churches howling like wolves. You'll see men with a collar, a dog collar around their neck, being led on all fours by women as they crawl around the floor. You'll see people shake like they've had an electric current through their body and go nuts, dancing and doing other wild acts. Obscene, yes. Outrageous, you bet. The Blind and the Dead is the name of the video. No one's ever did a video like this. Never. It's sort of the state of the Christian establishment today. Notice I didn't say the state of the Christian church. That's not part of the Christian church. They just use that name. They abuse that name, Christian. They're satanic. Now, I've gotten a lot of criticism for putting out this video. And I think it deserves that you see it for yourself. You see if Tex Mars is telling you the truth. Or am I part of the lie? Well, make up your own mind. Get the video. $25. Please add $5 for shipping and handling for the blind and the dead. Have a little church meeting in your home. Pray before you see this video. I don't have any doubt that demons have inspired these men. You'll see Benny Hinn saying, Benny Hinn, the big faith, preacher and faith healer, saying he doesn't want treasures in heaven. He wants them now. You'll see the wife of one of these televangelists saying she wants a Holy Ghost enema right up her. Well, you'll have to watch the video. Disgusting? That's right. True? Absolutely. Sad? Yes, it is. Be part of the truth, not the lie. Find out what the liars are doing. Expose them. Help me unmask them. Help this ministry and our work to stand up for the things that are God, the ancient landmarks of the faith. That's what we're all about here. I'm not here just to criticize people, to say, look at these men. I want to reform. I want to clean up. I want to bring Christianity back to Jesus, back to the truth, back to the things that our Lord brought to this earth in his goodness and mercy, and how they've been defiled, how they've been ruined. It's tragic. But you can help me. Won't you help me? Order this video. A little bit of the money that when paying for this video goes back into this ministry. The rest of it pays our expenses, and then we're able to continue our mission, our radio programs, our newsletters, our catalogs, our website. We're broadcasting around the world, and people are getting saved. A lot of people say, well, you're not saving anybody. You're just exposing evil. No, you don't understand. There are people bound up to Satan in these so-called Christian groups. And when they find out the truth, tell you, friends, they're delivered. They're delivered when they understand the truth. And they say, Jesus, cleanse me from all this unrighteousness. They're made whole. And we have many testimonies, more than I could count over the years, of people who have written to us saying, thank God for your ministry text. I used to be in that, and I got out of it. Some say, I didn't believe you at first. Then I went to the Bible for myself. That's what I like, a good Berean. The Bible says you're more noble if you research the Bible, the scriptures, for yourself. I like that. And on this video, I give you the scriptures. I don't just leave you lurching around. I say, here's what these people are doing. Now, what do the scriptures say? And then you can judge for yourself. And my friends, the apostle Paul says the people of Berea were more noble than other people because they studied the scriptures to see whether these things were so. Why, when Paul went to the province of Berea in Greece, the people heard him out and they said, well, we're going to go back and study the scriptures to see whether what you say is true. Was Paul offended? Did he say, I'm an apostle of God? How dare you come check me out? How dare you investigate the scriptures to see if I'm telling you the truth? Why, you got to believe me. I'm a big shot. Do you know who I am? I'm the apostle Paul. I'm one of the 12. Why, outrageous. No. They told him, we're going to check this out. What you say about this Jesus, we're going to find out for ourselves. We're going to see if it was prophesied that such a man as this Messiah that you preach about came. And Paul commended them. You're more noble than others. I got a letter not too long ago. Somebody told me that I was part of the devil. Tex, you're full of the devil for putting out this video, The Blind and the Dead. I emailed them back and I said, well, my friend, I beg you to get the video for yourself and see for yourself. He wrote me back and said, I wouldn't pay 1 cent for your filthy video. I don't want to know about those things. I know they're not true already. I didn't answer the guy back, but actually I should have. You know, it says in Proverbs, that's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, it says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. If you say, well, Tex, I'm not going to get that video. I don't want to hear those things. I don't even believe those things. They're not true. They can't be. You're talking about people like Benny Hinn and all these wonderful men of God, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Paul Crouch. I'm not even going to look into this matter. The Bible says you're a fool. And it's shameful. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. That's why Paul commended the Bereans. They searched it out. They listened. They heard. Now, they could have searched out the scriptures, and if it had not been so, come back the next day and said, you're a liar. You're part of the lie. But they didn't. They came back and said, what you said is true. And let me tell you something, friends. They probably rejoiced. They were, can you imagine the happiness? The one that was prophesied to come by Isaiah and all the other great prophets, that all the great men of God from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob had been looking for. And in their day and age, he had not yet come. But they knew he would because he was promised. And Paul said, he has come. And he has brought us salvation. And they checked it out. And they researched, they investigated. And they said, can you imagine the joy of those people to discover that the Messiah had come and provided a way for salvation? And that, yes, the Greeks, being Gentiles, could become part of Israel. Because Israel is not a physical nation, but a spiritual entity. And all who belong to Jesus Christ are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 28. Of every nation, they're called out by Jesus. To get that video now, you gotta phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. That's $30 now, and that'll cover the shipping and the handling. The Blind and the Dead, 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708-1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And of course, you can go to powerofprophecy.com. Oh, I wish you would. Boy, you'd love it. All those articles and videos and interesting things to read and see. And you can order this video, Blind in the Dead, powerofprophecy.com. And let's return now to our regular program. We're talking about truth versus the lie, how to defeat the Illuminati conspiracy, 1, 2, 3. You know, in the movie, A Few Good Men, I didn't see it, but I saw the previews over and over. And I liked the one scene. Had the attorney, the young military attorney Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise was playing the part. And Jack Nicholson seemed to be a crusty old colonel, had him on the stand. And Cruise was demanding that he tell the truth. I want to know the truth. He says to Nicholson on the witness stand to the old colonel. And Nicholson puts that scowl on his face, and he looked at him and says, you can't handle the truth. Evidently, that's what our government thinks about us. You can't handle the truth. Otherwise, they wouldn't lie so much. Actually, they don't believe at all that you can't handle the truth. They just lie because they want to manipulate the truth. Winston Churchill was a liar, the British Prime Minister during World War II. When it came out later that he had told so many lies during World War II, and he was asked, why didn't you tell the truth about these things to the people? He said this. He said, truth must be accompanied by a bodyguard of lies. Huh? Say what? Let me read what he said again. Truth must be accompanied by a bodyguard of lies. Got to protect the truth by lying. Wow. The government has locked up documents about the JFK assassination until 2050. Evidently, you can't handle the truth. And I want to tell you something, friends. Sometimes when you omit things, you don't tell things, you're lying.
Well, they're not really lying. They're just not giving us all the facts.
That's a lie. That's a lie. It can be very dangerous. Stop a guy beside the road. You're driving down the road. It's a little bit foggy. And say, is everything okay up ahead? Well, he says, well, yeah, pretty much. He said, well, thank you, partner. So you drive on down about a quarter of a mile and fall off the bridge. He knew the bridge had fallen in. He just didn't bother to tell you all the facts. It was pretty much okay, except for that bridge that was down. But you're dead. He omitted something very important. He lied to you. That's what he did. Liars working for the government say they do this for our own good. We'd like to tell you everything we know about the UFOs, but you can't handle the truth, so we're going to have to lie to you. We'd like to tell you who really killed JFK, but we're going to have to keep it locked up at the National Archives till 2050 because you can't handle the truth. Recently, Obama said he wasn't going to release 2,000 photographs of Americans and Israeli Mossad. He didn't mention that part. American CIA and military and the Israeli Mossad torturing Iraqis and other prisoners. 2,000 photos showing us torturing people as an official policy of our government. And Obama said, after I looked over the photos, I decided not to release them to the public. It might inflame people, might make them mad, in other words. What he was saying was, you can't handle the truth. Just like old Jack Nicholson, the colonel in the movie. You can't handle the truth. It might inflame you. A man named Ernest Zundale, a Christian man, is in prison for telling the truth about the Holocaust, and it didn't exactly happen the way the Jews say it did in World War II. He was put on trial for saying that, and he told the court, all I would like to do is present the truth as my defense. And the court said, the truth is not a defense in this court. So they sent him to prison. That's the law in Germany. The truth is not a defense. Of course, they don't want to know the truth. Elie Wiesel, that's E-L-I-E-W-I-E-S-E-L. He's reading, the man claims he was in like 5 or 6 different concentration camps. He just went from one to another. Cost a lot to ship people back and forth. This guy was at, 5 or 6 different concentration camps, he claims? You show him a picture of prisoners, you know, emaciated, thin, in some dormitory in some prison camp. He says, yeah, look, that one right there is me. Turns out it's not even him. I guess if you showed him another picture, you'd say, yeah, there I am, right there. He's older now, and you can't judge. You don't know whether he was him or not. He was found to be a big liar on all these things about what happened in the camps, and yet he's been given every award. He's been made rich from the world by being a Holocaust survivor. And he was asked about the many lies that he's been caught in, and he said something. And this is not exactly the words, But here's basically what Elie Wiesel said when he was caught in all these lies. He said, quote, "There are some things that, though they're untrue, are so important to be said, they must be accepted and told as truth, as if they were true." Let me say that again. Here's Wiesel. Here's the liars of this world. "There are some things that, yeah, they're untrue, but they're so important to be said that they must be told and accepted as if they were true."
Huh? "Well, I know I lied, but you know, it's so important what I told you that you got to accept it as true."
Groucho Marx had the joke that, you know, he claimed he had a beautiful woman sitting on his lap and he was kissing her and his wife walked in. She said, "How dare you?" He said, "Wait just a minute now, honey. You know I wouldn't do anything to cheat on you." She says, "What do you mean? I see it with my own eyes what you're doing." He said, "Well, now, wait just a minute. Are you going to believe me, your faithful husband, or are you going to believe your lying eyes?" That's what we're told mostly in the world today. We see things the way they are, but then the government explains it away and says, "You didn't really see that." R.D. Lang, the famous psychiatrist, said something quite interesting in an interview. He was asked, did he believe in this creating visions and imagination in your mind? He said, "Well, you know," he said, "I have a lot of psychiatrist friends that patients, couples come to them with sex problems. And they say, 'We're having sex problems.'" And so the way the psychiatrists tell them they can liven up, you know, enrich their sex lives, is by having fantasies of making love with other people while they're making love with the actual real partner. So you're, maybe I shouldn't even get into this, but R.D. Lang, the psychiatrist, one of the most famous psychiatrists in the world, said, you know, they're told that they can really have a real rich sex life and enjoy it more if while they're making love to their, you know, their lover, they're imagining, they're having a fantasy of having sex with somebody else, maybe a movie star or whatever. R.D. Lang said he didn't go along with that at all. It was very dangerous. It was very dangerous to create fantasies and imaginary scenarios in your head about anything, he said. And he said, more and more people are doing this. Just envision this. Just imagine this. Just think this. And they're told, you know, athletes are told, you know, imagine yourself, vision yourself. You're passing the ball. You're a quarterback. And it's caught by the tight end. And he's running for a touchdown. And so coaches are actually using these techniques too to teach their players. Envision your success. You're told in books like The Secret, if you think it, you'll get it. Think positive, imagine your success, and it'll come true. R.D. Lang said this can be very dangerous. And he told a true case. He had a problem, or he had to have a couple that had a problem, because the man really had been cheating on his wife. And she came home early from work one day and caught him with his secretary on the living room couch having sex. No doubt about it. There they were, caught in the act. Well, they hurriedly put their clothes on, and his secretary, you know, she got out and back, left the house, got in her car and left. And the wife was there crying and crying. The husband comes up to her and he and her had been going to this therapy, envisioning therapy. And they had been for several years now imagining their fantasy partners in sex. And he said to her, and this was after the secretary had already got dressed and she had left, and there his wife is just boohooing. And the man says, "Dear, what are you crying about?" She said, "I just caught you having sex with another woman. What do you mean, what am I crying about?" He said, "Oh, no, 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 no. You were just imagining that. You were just dreaming. That was a fantasy. Don't you know when we're in bed together, we imagine these things, me having sex, you having sex with other partners, and, you know, it gets us all heated up. You were imagining that. It didn't really happen." Lang said the woman got so confused from all the past experiences. For several years, she had been having these fantasies of such things as she had actually just seen. And she got so confused, she couldn't figure out what was fantasy and what was reality. and she was about to go out of her mind. And her husband was trying to convince her that it was just a fantasy in her mind. It didn't really happen. He was diabolical. He was a liar. Well, R.D. Lang, after talking with both of them, he could see the husband was a liar. And R.D. Lang was one of these realistic psychiatrists. And the woman said, what do you think my problem is? He said, I already know what your problem is, madam. You don't need to pay me $120 an hour any longer. I found it out. Your husband is a filthy, no-good rat and liar. You didn't have to go much psychotherapy with Dr. Lang. He found out right away her husband was a no-good, filthy liar. That was the root of her problem. Plus all of those fantasies she was having, I'm sure. Because Dr. Lang, I'm sure, let him know that is not healthy for you. You're not in the real world. You're not practical. You're living a lie. And the world teaches people to live a lie. One guy was telling me, I joined this club and we're all going to get rich and we're selling this product and it's, multiple, pyramid, whatever, sales. I said, you really think you're going to get rich? Oh, man. He said, I love the principle they teach us. I said, what is that? He said, fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it? Sort of sounds like the woman who came to me. She'd gone to a Kenneth Hagin faith healing crusade. She had cancer. Doctors told her she wasn't going to live. She said she wasn't going to get chemotherapy. She wasn't going to get any medication. She was already healed. I said, when did you have your last medical test? She said, about 3 days ago. It was wrong. They said I have cancer throughout my body. It wasn't true, though. I said, why do you think it wasn't true? She said, because I have spoken positive. I've made positive confessions. I thought in my mind, I do not have cancer, so I don't have cancer. I've decreed it. I've commanded the cancer to go away. I said, did you pray to Jesus Christ to heal you? Oh, that's the old-fashioned way, prayer. All you have to do now, she said, is just command it. And think positive. I don't even think about the cancer. Really? I said. No, I don't have it. She said, it's gone. I said, but the tests say that you still have it. She said, that's just symptoms of it. It's not really the disease. The disease in the other world, the fourth dimension, it's already been destroyed by God. I said, well, did God tell you that? Well, no, I thought it. I thought positive. Got a real problem, lady. Jesus is the great healer. I have no doubt that Jesus can heal anything if it's his will. We pray his will, friends. This woman never did pray his will. She made up her mind, it's my will that I am healed. Therefore, I'm healed. That's the way they do in the New Age movement. That's the way they do in the Word of Faith movement. That's not what God says. God wants us to depend on him. He wants us to go on our knees to him. He wants us to talk and communicate with him. And recognize him. And why shouldn't he get that privilege? After all, he's God. And we're not. Everywhere you turn today, there's propaganda and lies. The IRS rule tells churches it is against the IRS rules to disseminate propaganda. I read that. I said, that's wonderful. The IRS does not allow churches, nonprofit organizations, 501c3s, charitable organizations to lie. I talked with the IRS agent about that. I said, so you don't allow people to spread lies? He said, no, that's not what that means. I said, well, it says here, you cannot, if you're a nonprofit organization, you cannot disseminate propaganda. He said, well, that means things that the IRS rule has ruled are true. You must state of those only. Oh. You cannot oppose public policy, he said. If it's public policy, it's true. Well, I said, then abortion is public policy. Homosexual behavior is okay according to public policy. And he said, that's so. That's right. But it's bad for you, I said. It's evil. It's sinful. He said, no, that's propaganda. Now you're preaching propaganda. See, the IRS had decided what is true. And what was true is that it's good to kill babies. It's good to commit immoral homosexual acts. And that's public policy. It's approved by the government. And therefore, anything opposite that you teach, that's what propaganda is, and that's what you're not allowed to disseminate. You preach Jesus and his word. And that's propaganda. Now, when I was audited by the IRS here in this ministry, the agent asked me, what was the authority that I taught such things? By what authority are you teaching such things as you do in this ministry, said the IRS. Well, I picked up my Bible. It's right here on my desk right now. And I picked it up and said, here it is. He said, oh, no, don't open that. I don't want to hear that. For the IRS, the Bible's not the authority. I understood that. Now, let's talk real quick. Dr. Gates, let me tell you the real truth about that. I'm going to tell you as quick as I can. Henry Gates at Harvard University, as far as I can tell, I believe this to be so. It's my opinion, but I have a lot of facts backing it up. All this was planned. It was planned that he would be arrested. It was planned that he would cause an incident. The governor of Massachusetts is a filthy, no good black liberal, Deval Patrick. The attorney general of the United States is a no good, filthy black liberal, Eric Holder. The president of the United States is a no good, filthy black liberal, Barack Obama. And Dr. Henry Gates is a no good, filthy black liar named Henry Louis Gates. And he lied about the cop. And Obama, it was all planned to happen. Ann Coulter talked about this on various networks. Bill O'Reilly did on Fox News. That was a planned question. It was set up at that news conference for Obama to answer. The whole incident, I believe, in my opinion, was planned from the beginning to happen. But it backfired on him because there was a good cop and he didn't fall for it. And it makes Obama look like a liar. It makes, and he is, it makes Gates. I believe Gates is a homosexual man. Yes, I believe he's a homosexual. I found some stuff on the internet about the way he slyly propositions students for, you know what? I believe he's a homosexual. And I believe very firmly that Barack Obama is a bisexual. And Gates is his big pal. And they're a big ring. And by the way, one of the secret codes at Harvard is, come over to my place and we'll have a beer together. At Harvard, that means we'll have homosexual sex. When Barack Obama invited Dr. Gates and Officer Crowley to the White House, what he was really saying was, Gates, you and me will do ABC to this white policeman. He's a white honky. That's what they really meant. Sick, sicko, liars. Now, friends, you have a choice. You have a choice. I told you I would tell you 1, 2, 3 how to defeat the Illuminati. One is each day of your life, vow, promise God, and do it, that you will at least speak one truth that day. Discover one truth and say it. Do it. Friend, the second thing is understand you can be one of the very few real, authentic, genuine persons in this world by telling the truth. And your unique world will be trustworthy. You will have a sure foundation no matter how shaky the world is. Number 3, don't be a compromiser of evil. Don't be a plastic person. Don't be a part of the lie. Don't be deluded by the strong delusion. The Bible says, because they believe not the love of the truth whereby they might be saved. Therefore, they were condemned because they were part of the lie. Don't be part of the lie. And we can shake the foundations of the New Age movement. We can have a weapon greater than tanks and F-15 aircraft and nuclear bombs just by devoting ourselves to the truth invincible. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's my prayer you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.